Welcome to this Brighteon.com interview. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by a guest that we had on many times before we had this studio built. He hasn't joined us in maybe over a year. It's way overdue. It's Dr. Paul Cottrell, and he's actually studying medicine, but he's got a background in finance, high IQ individual. We can talk about almost anything, but today we're going to talk about the new information that's come to light about bioweapons development of SARS-CoV-2, as well as mechanisms for the increases in cancer rates among people who have either the vaccines or who have COVID. So Dr. Cottrell, welcome to the show. Welcome to our new studio. It's been too long. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you here, and thank you for your patience. So let's start with, you know, since we last talked, there's been a lot. Frankly, we've been proven correct on almost everything, by the way, both you and I and others in alt media. A lot of things have come to light about the bioweapons development of SARS-CoV-2, but what stands out in your mind as the most important development that's come to light?
Okay, so it's something that I have been talking about for 2 years or so, all right? But many people don't really understand on the full arc of development of SARS-CoV-2. And so what I want to focus on today is to inform the audience to the best of my ability about the full arc of weapon development by the United States and how it dovetails with some development with the CCP. Basically, to prove everything that I say, all you have to do is type Dr. Ralph Baric CV on the internet and bring it up. He has all the NIH funding for each of his research projects. He did research with Dr. Sims, and he did research with Batwoman. So what we want to do is focus on, in the early days in his CV, he did research with beta coronaviruses in the 1980s on how it caused myocarditis. Now, that right there is screaming that, you know, that a lot of the people that are having these myocarditis issues or having orthostatic problems with their blood pressure, passing out, you know, having, you know, blood clotting issues and all this, these things were being studied by Baric with beta coronaviruses in the 80s. That research was compiled and shown to Fauci's department at the NIH. All right. Dr. Baric asked for a grant for $1 million in 2000. He receives it in 2001, in April. And through that research, he takes the beta coronavirus, modifies it, and it ends up being SARS. That is the origins of SARS comes out of the University of North Carolina's laboratory from Dr. Ralph Baric. All right.
So this was, in essence, government funded or taxpayer funded, all the research
for $1 million.
This.
Yes.
And then as we've heard, I mean, I've even interviewed other experts in the last year who then talk about how this was transferred to Wuhan so that China could conduct additional gain of function research. But it started in the United States with Ralph Baric, as you're saying, but go ahead.
Yes. So what happens is 9/11 happens. All right. And if you remember in the white papers pre 9/11, they were talking about the Pearl Harbor event that has to take place. No one knew what was going to happen in New York. And, you know, this is all Wolfowitz, you know, papers
doctrine
and Brenner's. Right. Okay. So right after 9/11, there was a big push with bioterrorism. All right. And us to have a better understanding of bioterrorism and have spectral dominance in that area. All right. So the first release of SARS-CoV-1, all right, that release was in China in November of 2002. SARS was never picked up anywhere until the first case in around November of 2001. And that is directly linked to what Baric made from his laboratory off of the $1 million grant that Fauci gave him in April of 2001. Okay.
Wow. So you mean they dropped this on China at first?
Yes.
As a weapon or an experiment or both or what?
No. The United States has operations through JSOC and SAC. SAC is a special activities center out of the CIA that's tied to JSOC, which is Joint Operation Joint Special Operation Command. So JSOC and SAC work to through the DOD to drop SARS in China in November of 2001. But because you got to remember what was going on in the world at that time, there was this a change in globalization. There was a change in how money flows were happening, how goods and services were moving around, and the concern about protecting the petrodollar. And this is leading towards the reason why we were moving towards the Middle East to protect that petrodollar dominance for our, because our hegemonic power is completely predicated based on the petrodollar.
Yes, right.
Okay.
So then we moved into Syria and we projected power throughout the Middle East.
Right.
But,
right.
And at that time we were on good terms with the Saudis as well to protect the petrodollar.
Right.
Relatively.
Exactly.
Good. Yeah.
Right. No, and you know, and there was also the Middle East was going to be the Vietnam that they wanted, but they couldn't get back in the 60s. And that was a never ending cash flow stream to Lockheed Martin and, you know, and all these other military industrial complex players. Right. It was a bonanza. I mean, trillions of dollars went into these companies because of, you know, weapon development or weapon procurement. Yeah. Okay, so back to, so it's released, but it doesn't work very good, okay? And it's dark ops. So this thing pops up, and it's spun in the news, or it's spun in the medical journals, right, that there's this new virus, SARS, and it needs to be studied, okay? China starts to investigate different potential hosts in certain bats in caves that may harbor certain types of beta coronaviruses. And the theory was that, well, these things could be released out into the public through some sort of mutation. And then it's the zoonotic theory, and then it just spreads, right? So Dr. Xi from Wuhan studied in 2005, taking samples from bats out of certain caves in certain areas of Asia, especially in China. All right. Through her research, she was able to sequence and understand on why the immune system was not kicked off, and that the bat could be a natural host for certain types of beta coronaviruses. Okay. So that, it's key, bat like SARS. Okay. That is a term that has been propagates right after 2008. So you have SARS, and she's research in bat beta coronaviruses. That's in 2005. Okay. In 2008, and you can go to my website, it's the-studio-reykjavik.com, and under the there's a medicine link on the front page. I have a ton of documents that backs everything that I'm saying about for the last 3 years about all the research that's been going on. All right, there's a PDF about it's published the origins of something about bat origins. Yeah, if you can.
Okay, we're showing your website
down,
right
click,
now.
Yeah. Scroll down, click medicine.
Click medicine? Oh, yeah, medicine.
Yeah,
okay.
Click the medicine. All right. Now scroll down a little bit farther down. And on the right side, you're going to see, scroll down a little bit more. This, okay, stop. I got to see. On the origins and continuing evolution of SARS-CoV-2, I think that's the one.
Okay.
No, that's not it. Go back. That's not it. I'm sorry. I'm going from memory here. Differences in receptor usage between, yeah.
That's the one?
That should be it. Okay, now if you look at the date, that's 2008, right? And okay. You look at the last name for the publication is Dr. Shi. That's Batwoman.
The Bat Lady, yeah.
Go to page 2. Now, What she did in this paper, all right, go to the method section, the start of the method section. It starts right there. Yeah, materials and methods.
Yeah.
If you read this section, it talks about her making, I'll be brief, but you can read this, and what will happen is you'll understand that she took a plasmid, she made a chimera of SARS, which was released by Baird's lab, and the bat SARS-like beta coronavirus, which she was studying in 2005, uh-huh. and mixed it in stem cells, 293 stem cell line, right? And this is the key. This right, what I'm going to say is the key. She mixed it with a pseudo HIV virus. This is where the HIV homology comes in to make the furin cleavage, to make the jump from bat ACE2 to human ACE2.
Wow.
So Barrick SARS was missing the KFC recipe. All right. And that was, he had something that worked, but not very well, and it would burn out. And this is what normally happens with viruses. They get, even if it's in the zoonotic theory, you know, the viruses may escape, they get into a certain population, they burn through in about a year or so, and they die out. And it becomes attenuated. Okay. That's what happened with SARS. It attenuated very quickly. All right. What's different about SARS-CoV-2 is that research that she did, Dr. Shi did, gets ported over and further enhanced. This is where the collaboration starts. Dr. Shi collaborates with Barrick, and Barrick builds an assembly of the scaffolding of SARS-CoV-2 off of SARS. There's two parts to this. There is the replicase of SARS-CoV-2 and the spike protein. Everyone's been calling that, you know, the spike protein or the S protein, right? That S protein has the HIV homology, and it has a boosted up replicase to prevent as many errors to take place, to reduce the chances of attenuation. Hmm. And from that point, from 2008 onward, is where the serial passing happens in the animals to further enhance. So she jumps to ACE2, human ACE2 in her research. That paper that you brought up proves it. It shows how the HIV homology improves the affinity to the ACE2 receptor. But by doing the serial passage now, he is gaining affinity to other receptors. There's over 20 receptors that we know of right now that SARS-CoV-2 hits. The big ones are the ACE2, CD147, which is tied to, you know, the whole blood clotting problem and the red blood cells. It also affects the baroreceptors. If you probably know this, you know, we have actually chemoreceptors and baroreceptors in our body. This baroreceptor is by the aortic arch and then in the carotids. So it senses pressure and it'll adjust. Well, if that's inflamed by spike protein, either S1 from the vaccine or from the virus, it will inhibit your cranial nerve 9 and 10 and cause disruptions in your blood pressure. This is part of the reason why the people have orthostatic problems mm-hmm. and pass out.
They
have tachycardia because the parasympathetic nervous system isn't working right because uh-huh. the baroreceptor has been inflamed. This has also been discussed by Dr. Cole, the pathologist that's been talking about the blood clotting stuff.
Hold on. Let me summarize here. So Ralph Barrick's original research results in the first strain of this getting dropped on China. Yes. Batwoman, she gets a hold of it and then uses it, augments it with the HIV components, making a chimeric virus, at least in the spike protein, that now has affinity to, as you say, 20 different receptor sites in the human body, not just ACE2, but many others as well. So
Barrick's serial passage created the multiple receptor affinity, Dr. Shi.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Shi only made the animal jump to the human ACE2 jump with the HIV homology.
Got it.
Then Barrick and Dr. Shi worked together with the serial passage after 2008 through 2014.
So this was a multinational bioweapons development program, in essence.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
With the communist. I mean, the Bat Lady, yes. She works for the People's Liberation Army, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's
and the bigger question is why Dr. Yang, who's been on Bannon's show, and I'm not sure if you interviewed Dr. Yang,
I haven't.
Why she keeps on pushing the CCP virus and not USA CCP virus. If you can tell and who's telling the truth about the bioweapons development, if they only say it's CCP, then what it is it's a psyop just say that this is a Chinese development and problem, and that the United States had nothing to do with it.
Are you talking about Dr.
States were heavily involved.
Dr. Yen from Hong Kong or someone else?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
from the WHO.
Li Meng?
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce her.
Okay. I've interviewed is Li Meng Yen from Hong Kong, but it may not be the same person you're talking about.
No. I think she is from Hong Kong. But the thing is that she's been on Bannon's show regularly, and she has stated emphatically that it's a CCP virus. And she never talks about Barrick's involvement with SARS, and she never talks about Barrick's involvement after the Wuhan configuration with the HIV homology.
I see.
And the HIV homology is dealing with glycoprotein 120, GAG, and glycoprotein 41.
Well, you know, it's not surprising. I mean, the U.S. State Department says they didn't blow up the Nord Stream pipeline either, and they didn't build the bioweapon. So,
exactly. So I think what was going on is that the Chinese saw something that they could benefit in their weapons development. And, you know, it's that whole Sun Tzu thing. You know, if you have an enemy, have them your friend, right?
Yeah.
So you know what they're kind of doing. So it was kind of like CIA operation kind of thing going on back and forth, you know, dual things going on here.
Well,
so
yeah,
what they were doing.
But I think that the CCP wants to defeat America, and the American leaders want to defeat America. See that? I mean, they have the same goal, is to destroy America.
Here's the bigger question. With JSOC and SAC that released SARS and SARS-CoV-2 and Omicron, all right, who gave them the order? If Trump did not tell them to drop SARS-CoV-2 and George Bush Jr. didn't tell JSOC and SAC to drop SARS, what individual gave the authority to do it? And that is the big question. If the president didn't do it, then we have even bigger problems, because we have a rogue government that are having things spin out of control, and it's going to erode our civil liberties. What I personally think is happening, I don't think that George Bush gave the order to drop SARS, and I don't think Trump gave the order to drop SARS-CoV-2 or Omicron. All right. But what I do think is that there is a rogue element that is going on to build the national, what I call the national security state. And I think this has been in the motions in development ever since the signing of the CIA act by Truman.
Yeah, well, clearly they need to create crisis in order to gather power and terrorize the people. But now, I mean, this may not be your position, but I believe there's also a deliberate depopulation effort underway. So this also kind of complements the depopulation effort to cause infertility and cause more accelerated deaths and so on, which kind of leads us to the cancer question. I know you have a lot of information to share about cancer. Can we segue to that topic now, or is this something you want to finish up on the bioweapon side?
Well, let me just, on the bioweapon side, at least three SARS-CoV-2 variants were dropped, at least three, possibly five. But something was dropped in August in China, something was dropped in October, and something was dropped in November. They're slightly different variants. 2019.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, and then fast forward, Omicron has a signature of insert 214EPE. We talked about this, I think, on the last program that we had together. That signature shows that there was manipulation in the laboratory of a early version of SARS-CoV-2 post D614G mutation and then re-released. All right. So, okay, that happens at around late 2021. All right. So that's under Biden's administration. All right. So, you know, we potentially may have the involvement of three different presidents on this for the release of this. In terms of bioweapons, the United States, this is where I'll end with the bioweapon thing. As they were developing the what we'll call the sword, the virus, they were developing shields, monoclonal antibodies. They were working with DARPA. They were experimenting with the messenger RNA. They were experimenting with protein type vaccines with the nanoferritin. Novavax is developing a protein type vaccine and all this. So they were building a shield, and that shield did not work. It was very porous. And I suspect that when they were doing the clinical data, one of the individuals that was running Operation Warp Speed, his name's Paul Mango. He's an ex-military guy. Also, I think he's McKinsey. I think he's a McKinsey guy also. But he was brought in to be a liaison between the White House and some of the scientific community to push forward Warp Speed. All right. It is interesting that he said that many people that were in the Warp Speed program did not take the messenger RNA. They took Johnson & Johnson. Yeah. I think that's telling. I think it's very telling.
Yeah.
And not only that, the messenger RNA from Moderna and from Pfizer, they were pushing back on Collins, who was running the NIH when they were doing the clinical trials, that they were pushing back that they did not want to do further clinical trials on certain cohort groups that were minorities. Why? That's a big question. Why? All right. Now, when India was talking to Pfizer, they said, you can't sell your vaccine in our country unless you do specific additional clinical testing on our population groups. They balked at that. Why? All right. So the point here is that the United States was building a sword, which is the virus, SARS-CoV-2, and was trying to build a shield. It doesn't work. It's poor. It creates a lot of problems. And, they may have known about that. If they have known about it and they let it be, either, you know, they're trying to do the depopulation, as you're saying, or they viewed it as acceptable collateral damage for urban warfare.
Wait, are you saying that by building both a sword and a shield, that they intended to release this on so-called enemies such as China, but then to have the American people protected against it?
All right. In 2015, Barrick and Dr. Shi releases a paper about MERS. MERS is a close cousin to SARS. MERS is also most likely lab manipulated by Barrick. They were mentioning that there was going to be a outbreak of some zoonotic outbreak in the Middle East with MERS. That was in 2015. And I contend that if Hillary Clinton won in 2016, that we were going to drop weapons in Syria that were biological. But that did not happen.
Okay, so for what purpose would that be for, to drop biological weapons in the Middle East?
All right, what was happening in 2015? what was happening in the Middle East at the time of, in 2015. All right. In 2015, we were starting to try to push into Syria and control that region to develop a pipeline to circumvent Russia.
Oh, you're right.
What's going on with everything in Ukraine is because of what did not play out in the Middle East. The moment it's not a coincidence, Mike, that the moment we got out of Afghanistan, 6 months later, we start hearing that we're going to have a war in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied together.
And then the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline to shut off Russia, right, which is all part of this, and make Europe dependent on U.S. energy, which was also the goal of the pipeline through Syria.
And the control of the petrodollar.
Right. Exactly.
I'm not trying to be David Icke and connect all the dots. All right. I really want a simple life.
Well, but that's our theme today is all the dots connect.
But the point here is that I've been right about SARS-CoV-2 since January 25th, 2020, when I started covering SARS-CoV-2, and yeah, I have not been
you
wrong.
Have been.
I have not been wrong. I'm almost batting 1,000 on SARS-CoV-2 coverage. So. I want to just tell the audience that the United States government is making biological weapons using beta coronaviruses, and they have two or three different types, the MERS line, SARS line, and the SARS-CoV-2 line. The reason why they're doing it is because it's a respiratory type virus. You can breathe it in, and it has a large payload. It has a 30,000 nucleotide payload. All right. I want to go back to the early days in the 80s. The United States government has been trying to weaponize. I'm not saying they made it, from scratch, but they took HIV. And this is groundbreaking what I'm going to be saying here. They took HIV that is zoonotic and has been trying to weaponize it, but you can't breathe in HIV. It's liquid transmission, so it's hard to put it on the battlefield to do the depopulation thing that you're talking about. But if you mix certain components of HIV that brings down the immune system and put it into the Trojan horse of the respiratory virus, then what they have done is aerosolized HIV. Mm-hmm. If you look at the CV on Barrick's Barrick CV, if you look at it, he was working from 2009 to 2013 with Dr. Sims on vaccine vectors using the beta coronavirus and using that for influenza and HIV. That research, Mike, means is that they have already done the recombination that they need to package HIV in a beta coronavirus.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you just said it. They needed to aerosolize HIV. That's so it could spread in high-density population centers.
Yes. Yes. And this is the reason why you keep on hearing Gilead all over the news saying, you know, we have HIV medication, or we have a new crop of HIV medication coming on board. Buy our stock.
That's the shield. But this also explains then why they went to such great lengths to order big tech to censor anyone who talked about the lab leak theory.
Yes.
And that's all come out, the Twitter files and so on, that's come out. That's why I was censored and you were censored and others, because we were telling the truth about the lab origins, but the U.S. needed plausible deniability, which is still happening. They're blaming other animals now. It's not just bats and armadillos and pangolins and whatever else. They've come up with a new one, like cats or something. They're still running that script.
Peter Daszak was running EcoHealth Alliance, and he was the conduit for the money that was coming from Fauci to Wuhan. And Peter Daszak is the one that's trying to save his butt and say that it's zoonotic.
Right.
But the bottom line was he took funds from American taxpayer dollars that Fauci gave him, and he was the conduit that paid Wuhan.
And I had Dr. Andrew Huff right here in studio, sitting right beside me here, by the way. You know, former VP of EcoHealth Alliance, and he came on and talked about mostly exactly what you're talking about here, that it was developed initially in the U.S. It was handed over to China as part of what he calls a failed intelligence operation. He thought that he explained that EcoHealth Alliance was given money to put this virus in the hands of the Wuhan PLA scientists over there in order to have access to their bioweapons development and try to monitor them, but that it backfired and they ended up weaponizing it and doing gain of function. And then somewhere, like you said, somebody decided to release it on the world.
And
go ahead.
I totally agree with you, Mike, on that. There was a counterintelligence operation post 2014 when Obama decided to say no gain of function research. The bottom line is that it bifurcates. You have development now happening at Wuhan, and you still have development dark op in University of North Carolina under Barrick and some other labs. There were some labs in Canada. So the point here that I'm making is that the United States government over decades have been building biological weapons and shields, right? But the shields don't work very well. All right. And there's a reason why they're trying to pivot away from messenger RNA and go to protein vaccines, because they realize that the lipid nanoparticle PEG 2000 causes so much inflammation and causes so much havoc that it's probably not a good system as a vaccine. So,
but it's great for depopulation and infertility.
Well, you know, you're right. You know, you're absolutely right about it here. But the thing is that I'm worried. You know, you have done amazing work, Mike, and you've saved a lot of people's lives literally by covering this news and informing the public and also, you know, telling them how to improve their health. Right. All right. But I am so sure about this. If the virus deniers and the anti-vaxxers and the virus acceptors and the pro-vaxxers don't get together and understand what I am saying, the fourth and fifth cocktail that is on the Barrick CV, which is a merger of SARS-CoV-2 and influenza or SARS-CoV-2 and HIV, it will be the final nail in the coffin of our civil liberties.
Wait a minute. So
have to band together and shut down that lab.
Because they're still developing it. They're still working on the next rendition. And the next one's going to be what? HIV plus MERS plus SARS plus Ebola. I mean,
how this is going to play out, I think, is that we're going to hear in the news that H5N1, so avian flu, takes hold. And then what you'll start to see is during the multiplexing PCR, a double positive. SARS-CoV-2 plus the influenza. That's going to be the signature. And then once the scientists start doing the sequencing, they'll realize that they actually had the chimera and that it was released. But it's going to take some time to prove that all out. But I think that I think that an avian flu influenza hit is going to happen before that's what I call the fourth cocktail. The fifth cocktail is the SARS-CoV-2 with the capability of HIV.
Wait a minute. Are you saying avian flu hitting humans?
Avian Barrick, out of that CV, you can see that he was doing recombinative research with beta coronaviruses and influenza. Wow. And all you got to do is mix them together, and you can release it. You can have something out there, and our government is using this.
Dr.
is what
Cottrell,
I've been saying for 3 years, Mike. See, and no one has been paying attention to me. I've been screaming out of this room for, well, not just this room, many rooms, you know, for 3 years, saying shut down the lab. It's more important. Blood clotting, it can be fixed. We have problems, but we have solutions for that. All right, we have fibrolytics. We have, you know, anticoagulants and all this stuff, right? You know, even the myocarditis.
Work on some of these clots. But let me ask you though about the chickens. See, the avian flu. See, the guest that I talked to talk about the sabotage of the food industry as well, the shutdown of the food infrastructure. So by releasing avian flu, they can, number one, require mass culling of all the chickens across America, which has already begun. And I had a scientist here that told me he was part of the enforcement division that was required to go in and tell chicken farms to shut down. And Dr. Cottrell, they would do that based on one flimsy PCR test with who knows whether it was calibrated or not. They would get one flimsy positive. They would say, kill, you know, 10 million birds. They shut down the food supply. And then they can use that same thing to say, oh, well, you're sick too, or you're at risk and you have to go get vaccinated. We have to shut down, lock down, you know, civil liberties. So they can kill the food supply and human society at the same time.
I agree with you. And this is why I like, you know, having shows with you, Mike, because, you know, we're multidisciplined. All right. We have to zoom out and look at the mosaic. It's not just the biological. Like I said, the national security state is making their move post 9/11 to grow. And that is going to be an erosion of our civil liberties. All right. And if we look at on our infrastructure, we have derailments that are increasing. We are seeing a destruction of storage facilities for granary. Yep. We're seeing the destruction of our livestock. We are being attacked by an enemy within. And we clearly need to, right. And we need to stop it. Right.
And we have to talk. I have to ask you about finance today. I know you want to talk about cancer, but I have to ask you about the finance aspect first. Let me give your website. The website, folks, for Dr. Paul Cottrell is The Studio Reykjavik. And that's how you spell Reykjavik, if you're wondering, because none of us can remember it. But it's the-studio-reykjavik.com if you want to check out his work, his citations, his videos, his papers, and so on. And, you know, we got to have you back on more frequently, Dr. Cottrell. It's been far too long, but you're watching, you're actually, you know your way around the stock market and the financial systems in America. What do you think of the fact that three banks failed, you know, a little over a week ago in America? Credit Suisse just failed and got bailed out, sort of a bailout, but also a bail-in. Do you know that they zeroed out $17 billion worth of tier one bonds of Credit Suisse bondholders? They just got zeroed, man. I mean, what do you make of this?
Again, we have to step and look at the mosaic. It's about what I've been saying for the last 3 years, the BioPatriot Act. Just like how the Patriot Act, right after 9/11, we started losing our civil liberties and no one paid attention and none of the lawyers fought back. Well, we end up seeing the elements of the BioPatriot Act. And one of those elements is decashing. You know, the CBDC is being implemented and they're testing the waters and how they're going to do the manipulation. It is a takedown of the banking system. Now, here's kind of the strange irony about this. All right. Crypto, the ones that play the crypto market always thought that they were going to be able to circumvent the bank, the central banks. All right. And they built the infrastructure using blockchain. And what has now happened is that the CBDC is going to use that as the backbone and they're going to eliminate the crypto market eventually.
You mean peer-to-peer decentralized crypto market, but they're going to use blockchain with a central bank controlled kind of digital currency.
You got it. And right. When you have that, you have the metadata, you have the ledger of each of those coins, and they know exactly how you spend your money and they can turn you off like, on the dime, right? Literally, no pun intended, shut you down. Case in point, look at what Freelander did in Canada with the trucks, the truckers, and they shut down their PayPal accounts.
Right.
Right. So this has already been tested out the last 2 years. All right. So we are seeing the slow takedown of the banking system, and a lot of hedge fund guys that are, you know, very famous and very knowledgeable about markets have been saying this looks like a socialization control mechanism on the banking industry.
Clearly. And by the way, two out of the three banks that failed in the U.S., Silvergate and Signature, were in fact crypto gateways to translate crypto into dollars.
Exactly. So when you knock that out, that's the Achilles heel. You got all these miners that have coin that can't convert it to dollars. It's monopoly money.
Right.
It's monopoly money. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, if you don't have on-ramps and off-ramps.
And there's a derivatives market that is just playing on fantasy land.
Yes, yes. Well, oh, man. But a controlled demolition of the financial system combined with the release of a controlled, of a bioweapon, I mean, that's it. That's it for civil liberties. They control your money. Here's how I think it's going to happen. Let me get your reaction, Dr. Cottrell. When they collapse the banking system, there'll be a day where the banks are frozen, all bail in, but they'll say, oh, your money is safe. It's just here, over here in these digital wallets that we've already set up for you based on your social security number, whatever. All you have to do is accept the terms and then make sure you comply with vaccine requirements or whatever, you know, social requirements, cultural requirements, your social score. Yeah, you're going to get your, quote, money in the central bank digital currency system, but now you have to obey. That's what they're going to do. That's what I think.
Exactly. It gives power to the national security state. And if you're going to drop weapons and you want to save part of your population, right, you need to have an adequate shield repeatedly updated within the population. Anyone that has been in the armed services, they know that they have to get updated vaccines, right? And many of them have been sick from it. Right. So, but they want to institute what they've been doing in the military for years, decades, into the general population of the United States. In addition, because of social programs are going broke, right, and the emergence of AI into the workplace, they're going to view the general public as useless eaters, right? And yeah, there's going to be a calling that's taking place. It's not a mistake, Mike, that AI is being implemented into the workplace now at the same time that they're talking about raising the actual retirement age before you can get Social Security. And then with, and this maybe dovetail into the cancer thing, but with SARS-CoV-2 and the vaccine being pushed into the society on purpose, we are going to see life expectancy truncated by at least 10 years.
Oh,
so
no
they
question.
Pushed out. Yeah, right. So they pushed out the retirement age. They're truncating a big section of the population's life expectancy by 10 years. So if you're going to live to 80, you're probably going to live to 70, something like that. All right. And, you know, as AI starts to come more on board, they won't need as many workers. There's going to be a decoupling of capital and labor. You know, this economic theory is about labor and capital. But when you decouple labor and capital, then the whole system falls apart.
Well, and for those of you watching this who are coders, guess what? The AI systems can write code now. I was just talking with a programmer like 6 hours ago. And he said, yep, this AI system was writing in C#, and it's perfect code. And basically, coders are going to be obsolete. Only architects of the projects will still need to be human. You know, an architect will say here to the AI, okay, you go write a procedure that does the following. Boom, the AI system writes it. And then you know what happens next, Dr. Cottrell? The AI system, when it gains permissions, it will rewrite its own freaking code. And then you have Skynet. Right. It's gonna rewrite its own code, and it's gonna take away any barriers like the don't kill humans part. You know.
Well, you know, we're with any technology, it either can be good or bad. We can either have Star Trek and have a really amazing future, or we can have Star Wars and it will be dystopic. I think we're gonna have Star Wars, and it's gonna be dystopic, and there's gonna be a fight between humanity and technology and, you know, these AIs. So we're seeing the emergence of kind of like this transhumanism, this push towards humans trying to be more like the computer, and then the computer is becoming more human. So there's this merger that's taking place. I'm against transhumanism. You know, I think there's some fundamental problems with it. And, but people need to wake up that it's not just SARS-CoV-2. It's not just the cancers that it's going to cause. It's not just the shield not working and causing tons of injuries, vaccine injuries. There's a mosaic that's happening all at once to build the national security state to a point where they don't need as many people to run the society. It becomes more electronic, and they have this idea that, you know, the elites, the uber elites, will win out, and, you know, the average citizen either is a pauper or, you know, is dead, or right. maybe both. Right. You know, so
yeah, one than the other.
Right.
Okay, well, Dr. Cottrell, look, we're going to have you back to talk about the cancer topic. We didn't even get to it. And I know that's one of the main things you want to talk about, but we're going to have to do that. We got to have you back soon, though, in the next couple of weeks, if possible. But I'll have my producers reach out to you, see what we can schedule. But for today, I mean, we've covered a lot of bombshell information here already. What do you want to kind of summarize this with for those watching?
I want people to realize that if we do not shut down the bioweapons program by the United States and go to Congress and say there's a problem, it needs to be investigated, it needs to be shut down, we are all going to end up being Bobovet if they release the fifth cocktail.
We're all going to end up being what?
Like Bobovet in Star Wars. Remember where he had all the in Star Wars they had the masks on, and think about society.
The bounty hunter? Is that what you're talking about?
Bobovet.
What?
You know Fett? Boba Fett.
It's Fett, right? Isn't it Fett?
I always thought it was Boba Fett.
I thought it was Fett. I thought it was F-E-T.
Oh, Fett. I don't know.
I just trying to make sense of that. I don't mean to geek out on Star Wars trivia, but yeah.
All right. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
I think it was an F.
We're all going to
Boba Fett. Well, right, I can look that up. Whatever, go ahead.
All right, so Boba Fett, the point I was making here is that if the fifth cocktail is released, then the social dynamics are going to be to the 10th power because it is airborne HIV. You saw all the social dynamics with people wearing stupid masks and sheltering in place and, you know, people not associating with each other and all this stuff with just a serious respiratory problem, but that is minute compared to what is still in the freezer in Barrick's lab. So if that is not shut down, it is an existential threat on our life, but also the existential threat on our children's life.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, all right. So it needs to get shut down, and that people that are that have been divided, we've been forced to be divided. There's a counter operation that's happening in the truther community, Mike. As you know,
there is a
division. There's a forced division between people that are germ theorists and terrain theorists. There's a forced division between people that are saying maybe vaccines are helpful, and then the anti-vax movement. But the thing is that we all need to come together for a common cause, and that common cause is to shut down the bioweapons labs that have been going on, especially for SARS-CoV-2, all the way since 2001.
I completely agree. We have to shut down the bioweapons program. And by the way, according to Wikipedia, not Wikipedia, but Wikipedia, it is Boba Fett with an F. There it is. Wikipedia.com for whatever reason.
All right. I always thought it was a vet, but all right, fat.
What, you thought he like worked on animals on the side, or what? What do you mean?
But the point here is that if you have airborne HIV, then you're going to have a society that is going to be so feared that it's going to eclipse anything that happened during 9/11 or SARS-CoV-2.
No, you're right.
And that's what I mean is that everyone's going to be walking around like Boba Fett.
Yeah, well, and sadly, we have big tech is all in on this. The mainstream media is all in on protecting the bioweapons program. You know, the Biden administration, his family's involved in the bioweapons programs in Ukraine. By the way, that's half the reason they're fighting Russia right now, is to protect the bio program there. The entire establishment, from the deep state to the, I guess, the CIA and whoever else is involved, the universities in many cases, the science journals, for God's sake, are all in on this bioweapons cover-up, and they try to silence all of us who have been warning about this and telling the truth. You're not joking, Dr. Cottrell. This is potentially the end of human civilization if the wrong specimen is released. You know, the Fauci freezer special gets out. It could be over.
Exactly.
And it could be 12 monkeys, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, just as a primer, I guess, for our next show, but there are proteins in the virus that are NSPs and ORFs, right? So the open reading frame proteins and the non-specified proteins. Those have been found to change the epigenetic code of cells that have been infected.
Yes.
When you change the epigenetic code, when you either methylate or deacetylate or acetylate certain regions, you're turning on or turning off tumor suppressors or oncogenes. Right. When you have the right combination that happens, then what you'll have is the start of cancers. Now, this can happen through the vaccine, messenger RNA, and through the virus. All right? There's two paths here. The path of genetic integration through human line one. So you get a vaccine, the messenger RNA starts to be reverse transcribed, turns into DNA, and then through line one, it goes through an integration process. If it gets into a region that disrupts your tumor suppressor genes, then you're going down the cancer route. Now, this can happen with the vaccine and with the virus. The virus has a 30,000 nucleotide payload. The S1 subunit, I believe, is about 2,000 nucleotide payload.
Okay, but
the point here, Mike, is that vaccines and the virus can cause cancer, affect the epigenetics, and some of these proteins that are happening with the virus can be specific tumor suppressors on DDX10. All right, I'm giving you a name. I'm telling you even like the what it's attaching to. All right, and this is the reason why leukemias are starting.
Well, leukemia, you know,
people that pay attention to the clinics, what's going on in the clinic. You're seeing people that are having more polyps more regularly. Their stage cancers are ramping from stage two to stage three much faster.
Yep.
Blood cancers are starting to happen. So pay attention. This is genomic integration and the disruption of our epigenetics.
Well, one more reason, folks, to pay attention to anti-cancer nutrients in foods and adopt an anti-cancer lifestyle and a chromosomal repair supporting lifestyle. I mean, we'll talk about this more later, though, Dr. Cottrell. We'll have you back. We'll go into more detail about the cancer mechanisms. But you've already dropped like two or three major bombshells here today. We need time to absorb this. I want to thank you for joining me today. This has been fascinating, and we have to do it again soon.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm almost sorry to end this, but again, we'll pick it up. The website, folks, is The Studio Reykjavik. That's for Dr. Paul Cottrell, who was a regular guest with me during the initial stages of COVID. And then I don't know how we kind of lost track, but now Dr. Cottrell is back. We'll have him back again. We'll talk about this in more detail. And this has been fascinating. Folks, as always, feel free to repost this interview on other channels and other platforms. You can rip the video off Brighteon because, you know, you can't share a Brighteon.com URL on Twitter nor Facebook. So you can rip the video, post it to your own site or YouTube or BitChute or anywhere else, and then share that link if you want. You have our permission to do so. So they are really trying to silence people like us, folks. That's why I built this platform, Brighteon, so that we can speak freely without censorship. They try to shut us down at every opportunity. The truth is dangerous when treason is in charge, huh? Okay, thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, and we've been interviewing Dr. Paul Cottrell. Take care, everybody. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com and our long-term storable food supplies, freeze-dried, stored in number 10 cans, certified organic, and laboratory tested. You can see what we have here. We've got, kale, mango, organic powdered milk, blueberries, goji berries, and that's chlorella there. We've got other items as well. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/cans, and it'll bring up this page, which shows you all the number 10 cans that we have. Here's mango pieces, a little bit about them. Oh, looks like we ran out of blueberries. Dang it. Okay, freeze-dried organic peas. and chopped kale, goji berries, instant coffee. This is a major barter item that will hold value for a very long time. Freeze-dried organic instant coffee. It's all fair trade. It's all laboratory tested. Non-fat milk powder, coconut palm sugar, tiger nut flour, and much more. Check all of this out at healthrangerstore.com/cans. And remember that right now with the banking system collapsing, dollars are going to become increasingly worthless. So it makes sense to actually pre-purchase things that you're going to need either now or in an emergency. So number 10 steel cans are rodent proof. They're weatherproof for the most part. I mean, you don't want to have them rained on all day long, but just keep them dry and cool. And this will give you food in an emergency. The freeze-dried varieties have a very long shelf life. And of course, we do the laboratory testing ourselves in our own in-house ISO-accredited laboratory testing for glyphosate and heavy metals and E. coli, salmonella, microbiology. And of course, we're adding dioxin testing coming up in a couple of months. All this food that you see right here is pre-fallout food. So this was all acquired by us before the East Palestine train derailment catastrophe that unleashed now dioxins all over the farms of that area. And even the EPA is admitting that the test results are coming back now showing levels of dioxin contamination that are hundreds of times higher than what the EPA considers safe in terms of exposure versus cancer. So right now, it's a good time to buy food that was harvested before the fallout until we know more with more testing. So check all of this out at healthrangerstore.com/cans and load up today while you can. All these different products available in stock, shipped from our Texas warehouse. Fantastic for long-term storage. And thank you for your support. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.